I didn't write a speech today. So we'll just wing it and see where we go, okay? I want to talk a little bit about going to the University of Arizona and working on my MFA there. And finding myself in the Southwest. I really don't know where to start about that. I guess I think writing is very important to me, and it's been the mainstay of my life, and at times it's been something that kept me sane. It was something that allowed me to get rid of the boogies, and I'm still getting rid of the boogies in my life. It was something I started to do very, very early on in my childhood. Both my mother and my father were, my father had a degree from Theological College in Saskatoon, and my mother was a teacher. And when we were growing up, we were surrounded by books. Both my parents read a lot, and they were very interested in the world around them. My father collected people, and he would have this curiosity about the world, not just Saskatchewan, not just Saskatoon, but the whole wide world. And we were living in Sandy Lake Reserve up by Mount Nebo there. When I lived there from the time I was 10 months old till I was 6 years old. And my dad went away in the car one day and brought a black man to the reserve. And this was in like 1953. And no one in Sandy Lake had ever seen a black man. And Dad thought it would be important that everybody could see somebody who was not the same color as them. And I remember the man was from Africa. He was a nice man, and he was outside our house walking around looking at the flowers and just noticing the plants and the trees. And there's this little hedge by our house, and there's a whole bunch of little kids all lined up hiding in the hedge to get a look at this man. That's the kind of man my father is. He's really curious about the world and always learning and reading. And we grew up in a house like that. And my mother thought it was very important that we learn about books very early in our life. And she brought us children's books. And this is at a time in my father's career when I think he was earning about $100 a month. We did not have a whole lot of money, but my parents put priorities on things, and one of the priorities was books. We had the National Geographic and Life magazine and Time magazine and Maclean's, and my parents read to us. And I remember very early on learning the language, learning English, and loving the way that words sounded. There, it was like singing to me. It was words were very musical, and I learned words just for the sake of learning words. I just liked them a lot, and I had an enormous vocabulary when I was a very small kid. And a lot of people joke today that when I was a kid, they liked me, but they could never understand what I was saying. And so I started writing little poems and telling stories, not writing poems, but making up poems and telling stories when I was about 3-4 years old. And it never left. It was always there. It was just something that was a part of my life. But it took me a long, long time in my life to come to the point where I actually actually looked at those words as being writing. I actually started to name poems poems. Before that time, I guess I thought that I wasn't worthy enough or good enough a writer or something to call poems poems and stories stories. And it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I actually started to accept that I wrote poems and I wrote stories. And I think all the way along in my life, from the time I was 3 years old until my mom, when I grew up, I wanted to write books like Winnie the Pooh. I wanted to write more than anything else in my life. That was the one thing I wanted to do. And I was really afraid of testing it out. And I didn't publish my first short story until I was about 28. And I was afraid of doing that because what if I published that story and the clouds parted and a voice said, "Beth, you can't write." Then what would I do with my life? And I had no other desire than to write. And so the first story I wrote and published, I was just scared. I was really, really scared. And then I saw it on the printed page, and it was like a high, like nothing else. I think it was a struggle, but a magnificent obsession, the writing. One of the things that happened in my life that really had a profound influence on me was when I was 20 years old, I went crazy and I was hospitalized. And I was in the psychiatric ward for a couple of months, 2 or 3 months, I don't remember it, but I had approximately 42 electroshock therapy treatments. And those treatments are, they put electrodes on the sides of your heads here and they zap you with electricity, and the electricity goes through your brain. And what it does is it deadens your brain, and you don't think anymore, and you don't feel anymore. And it's a way to make crazy people manageable, but I don't think that it's therapy. But that had a profound effect on me because I lost my memory. And I was in the third year of an English degree at that time, and I lost it. I could not recall that whole year, and I was at UVS at that point. So I had to in a way start life all over again, and I had to learn about who I was because I had no memory of my childhood. And to this day, I don't know if my memory is my memory or the memory of the stories that my family told me to tell me who I was. And at this point in my life, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But I went through a period of time after getting out of the psychiatric ward, after being zapped with electricity, where I really grieved. I was very, very much in pain from the loss of my memory. And the most painful part of that whole experience was in the psychiatric ward. After a period of time of getting the shock treatments, I was allowed to have magazines. And they brought the magazines in, and I looked at them, and I couldn't read the words. Those marks on the paper had no meaning to me. And that, when that hit me, I thought that my life was over. I couldn't understand how the words would be taken away from me. The thing that I love the most could be taken away from me. And in my novel, coincidentally, my female protagonist goes through this experience. And when that was 20 years ago, and I thought that I had done a lot to let go of it and done a lot of healing, and when I wrote that chapter about my Josie being in the psych ward, it was the hardest thing I ever wrote, because I had to go back and it was one thing in my life that I had never written about. It was just something that happened that I tried to block out. And so there I was this fall, down in Tucson, Arizona. Beautiful, sunny Arizona. Saguaro cactuses, I mean, it's a whole mystique, right? And I'm in my little apartment looking out the window, facing south, and trying to find the words to write about this incredibly traumatic experience in my life, and to face it, and to face it truthfully. And I was writing away, and the writing is really exciting. I think it's a well-written piece about madness. But I was sitting there, and I thought, Jesus, I'm so far away from home. I don't have my family, I don't have my friends, I don't have the prairie to walk on, I can't feel the wind, my wind, not Arizona wind, it's different, right? I thought, I felt so alone, and I felt, it hit me how much courage it takes to write. It takes enormous courage to tell the truth. And it was a very intense thing for me to write about that, and I had to stop halfway through the chapter, because I started getting the symptoms of my body was remembering what it was like to be zapped with electricity, and I started to feel it in my head. I started to feel the sides of my temples being very delicate, and at one point I thought, am I going insane again? And then I realized that no, this is my body's memory that's being brought up by the words, by the potency of these words. And soon after, my parents came down to Tucson. I had told them how terribly painful it was to face these boogies, and I really, they just flew down and stayed with me for a week, and we played tour, and we drove around. We went to a lot. There's old.